Amen. You can turn to 1 Corinthians, I mean, Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to go to Corinthians in a minute. I want to talk about connecting and caring by serving others today. And I want to put up a slide here. Did it get put up? No, I guess it didn't get put up. But I had a slide. I sent it to Pastor Paul. Maybe it didn't go through. It was a little anatomy slide, and it showed the brain. It showed the cerebrum, the cerebellum, and the medulla. I was a physical therapist at one time, so that makes up the brain. And then from that comes the spinal cord, and off of that comes the nerves. And the key is the brain, right? The brain sends a signal, right? Think of a baseball player. Baseball player, a great baseball hitter, would see a ball come 100 miles an hour. Through the eye, some of them are really good hitters, and they see the way the pitcher throws, releases it. It's a curveball. It's a fastball. Incredible, coming at 100 miles an hour. God has created us, and the Bible says we're fearful and wonderfully made. Psalm 134, verse 14 says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. God has established this body, and it's so complex. Even the eye alone is so complex. And a fool only says that there is no God. But God has also put together this thing called the body of Christ. And he is the head. And so what I want to do today is how do we connect and care for serving people God's way? The first is we must be connected to the brain. So let's read Colossians here, chapter 1. I put 1 Colossians. There's no such thing as 1 Colossians. That's why it's throwing me off. I'm up there reading and saying, what is 1 Colossians? It's Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians. That's why I did that. So, all right. Look at, let's start in verse 16. Now, there's a lot of depth here. I don't have time to go into all of this. Just kind of read it, comment a little bit. There's one part here talking about the head. That's what I want to focus on. This is really, really deep stuff. But verse 16 says, for by him, of course, of Christ. All right, so he's the cause. He says, we're all things created and are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Talking about all the spiritual realm, he's created everything. All things were created by him and for him. So he created everything, and it was for his glory. You know, Jesus cannot be part of the creation because he's the creator. One doesn't create himself, right? Verse 17, it says, and he is before all things, so he's eternal, and by him all things consist. You know, if Jesus didn't hold the universe together, you know, the planets would be all whacked out. There would be no tide. There would be no gravity. It would be total chaos. I found this thing. Warren Wiersbe was talking about he about some people were taking a trip. A guy took a group of people through an atomic laboratory and explained how matter was composed in rapidly moving electron particles. And the tourists studied the models of the molecules and were amazed to learn that the matter is made up of primarily of space. So during the questioning, one visitor asked, if this is the way matter works, then what holds it all together? And the guide says, I have no answer. We have an answer. It's Jesus Christ. Right? They have no answer. It goes on to say in verse 18, and this is the part I want to focus on today. He is the head of the body. We'll talk more about the body in a minute. The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, talking about the resurrection, right? He's the first fruits. And all things, he might have the preeminence. And that means first place. God has to have, and you have to figure this out in your own life. Who is on the throne? Is it Jesus or is it you? One of the greatest ways to live as a Christian is to be totally surrendered to what God wants, and he is on the throne. You know, every day you got to, that's why Jesus said, every day when you pray, he says, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, as this message goes on, I want you to think of this. And you're going to see there's a lot of signals that come from the brain, from God, that we reject and we do our own thing. Now, you're going to see that the head cannot have damage. It's not like the physical realm. I was a physical therapist. I worked with quadriplegic and paraplegic people. You know, I remember working with this one guy. He got hit with a baseball bat in the head. And this guy couldn't even stand. I would spin him. I would do all these things. So understand that in this illustration here, the head's never going to have a problem. That's Jesus. It's going to be the body. Right? So let's go on. Let's read a little bit more here. So the preeminence, is he first place? For it pleased the Father that he and in him should all the fullness dwell. So Jesus is fully God, having made peace, verse 20, through the blood. There's so much here, you know, through the gospel, right? You were at enmity with God. If you're saved now, you're at peace with God. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated or separated and are enemies, you are at war in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So this idea of verse 22, just to understand the context of Colossians, is that there was the Gnostics, and the Gnostics believe that Jesus was not God. And they did not believe he rose from the dead. And you look at a lot of cults and religions, they believe the same thing. Right? So that's why he's saying in verse 22 here, he says, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, that's your position before Christ, unblameable, that means without flaws, unreprovable, that means that there's no charge that is against you. See, your position in Christ is everything. From your position in Christ is why you live the Christian life. That's your motivation, right? It's nothing else. Understand, you'll never grow as a Christian by your actions. You go by nutrition through Christ. It's abiding in Christ. It's not doing. See, we think, oh, so-and-so's a better Christian because they do this and they don't do that. It's not true. It's abiding in Christ and letting the Spirit live through you. And the fruit of the Spirit is a spiritual Christian. It's how you're treating your people in your home, at work. So when you stand before God and I stand before God, it's not going to be, oh, I want all these people to Christ. I did this, I did that. Yeah, there's rewards for that. But it's going to be, how are you Christ-like in your life? How are you like Jesus? That's what it's all going to come down to. It's not going to come down to, I did this, I did that. I wrote a book. I had this big church. I did this. It's going to be how I treated my kids, how I treated my wife, how I treated my husband, how I treated the coworkers. Did I show Christ to them? We were talking with the men yesterday and talking about, you know, raising up kids and all that, and one of the verses says in Ephesians 6:4 is that don't provoke your children to wrath, but nurture them, admonish them. And that one of those words there in that context is talking about don't keep nagging your kids so they'll get bitter against you. And at times, and I gave the illustration, I said at times I would say to Ashley, do this. I go, Dad, how many times are you going to tell me? And see, if I keep doing that, I'm provoking her to wrath. Do you see? So I want you to be Christ-like, but it's not going to happen unless you're connected to the head. Now, positionally, all these verses, it can't be undone. So you can never be severed from the head, Jesus Christ, positionally. You're going to heaven. That can't be severed. But we can stop the signal coming down by us rebelling and saying, I'm going to do my own thing. When the signal's coming down through the Word of God saying, no, do this. I was talking to somebody the other day and they're bitter. They're bitter at this person for doing this thing. Well, the signal comes down and says Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. So the head is saying to the body, this is what I want you to do. But we have a free will and we could choose not to do it. I found this great quote by John MacArthur on this idea of free will versus God's sovereignty. So there's a thing called God's providence. God could do a miracle any second, but he works in providence just as well. And I want to read this to you. It says, he says that through a miracle, God interprets and overrules the operation of normal and natural processes and events, whereas through providence, he takes them as they are and orchestrates them to accomplish his predetermined will. He says, from a human perspective, therefore, providence seems even more astounding than a miracle. In a miracle, God simply replaces the natural events and circumstances with those of his own special making, usually within a short period of time and often instantaneously. Providence, listen to this now, however, involves the infinitely more complex task of natural events and circumstances, as well as the limited but real freedoms of human and demonic minds and wills, and often over the vast periods of time, superintending all of those elements in the flawless fulfillment of his own foreordained plans. Multiplied myriads of individuals and seemingly random plans, choices, actions, and events continually work together in a divine synchronous strategy to perform God's predestined plan. I'll give you illustrations so you'll understand that. Joseph. Joseph followed God, but his brothers hated him, threw him in a pit. He gets sold off to slavery. The Potiphar's wife accuses him of rape. He goes to prison to 2 to 10 years. But God was sovereign over the whole thing, and he was, in his providence, still moving everything. He would become second in command in all the world. And then his brothers, when dad died, Jacob died, they're all shaking. And they're all worried, what's going to happen? And actually, I want you to turn there. Hold your finger here. Go to Genesis 50. So this is the providence of God. And I bring all of that up, meaning this. It gives me hope, even when I choose to not obey the signal coming from the head. God is still sovereign and working. And even when other people in your lives, you think, oh, this person's stopping me from accomplishing this. This person's doing this, and this person is doing that. Take confidence that God is, in his providence, still watching over your life and still orchestrating, and it may take time. See, it's not like a miracle he does, like, boom. That's what we always want. That's not how God always works. In Genesis 50, look at verse 18. All right, so if you back up a little bit, you see that Jacob dies here. And verse 18, and his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. Here it is. For I am in the place of God. See, God has placed me here, his providence. He had a plan. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. So watch. You say, you know, if God would just do this and this person or change this person or do this and do that, man, I would be so happy. What we have to do is the signals that are coming down in our relationship, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're doing, and if you're trying to do it your own way, I have had people say to me, Pastor, I tried, you know, the Bible way. It didn't work. That's nonsense. The Word of God is true. I'm going to show you a couple of verses in a minute. It's true. It's going to work. But see, what we do is we want it to work right now. But in God's providence, he has a plan. But if you and I keep rejecting the brain, the signals coming down, and we go our own way, we're going to end up suffering. And if you are suffering at the hands, quote, of other people right now, just relax and keep doing what the signal is saying in your life right now, because God is over it and he has a plan. No one is more powerful than God. Now, everything flows from the head. So go to chapter 2 and look at verse 18 for a second. And it says this, let no man beguile you, means to kind of trick you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. That's big today. Intruding into those things which ye have not seen. That's like all the visions people are getting in a sense of, I'll talk about that in a minute. Oh, God spoke to me. God told me this. And they're always looking for a spiritual experience to guide them. He says, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. See, by the control of his flesh. But watch what he says in verse 19. He says, not holding the head. See, they're not going to the head for information. And he says, watch. This is what I just talked about before, about nutrition from the head. From which all the body, by joints and bands, have nourishment, ministered, and knit together, increases with the increase of God, right? So we must be careful not to be distracted from Christ and his word and seek after spiritual experiences. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. I found this quote by Edward Restuo referring to verse 18. He says, this refers to alleged visions, imagined and invented revelations, and living in a world of hallucination. Now, I am not saying God can't speak to you through the Holy Spirit to say, hey, go talk to Joe over there. I'm not limiting the power of the Holy Spirit. But the Word of God is finished. And we have enough signals coming from the head, the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God, right? Now, people say to me, Pastor, I got to be careful here. Pastor, what about people who have, like some of the Muslims who are getting visions or things to say, hey, go there, go talk to that person. Now listen, I'm going to get to the spiritual gifts in a minute. I'm not going through all of them. I preached to that three times. You go back and listen to those. But understand that God could do anything at any time. The spiritual gifts were for the church in 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to turn there in a minute. But before that time, can God do anything at any time? Yeah, he made a donkey speak. He made an axe head flow up. God could do anything at any time. You could be in a foreign field and God can give you the ability to speak in another language if you so choose. But understand the spiritual gifts are for the church. It doesn't limit God. Peter had the gift of discernment. The word of God was not finished yet. So he said, Ananias and Sapphira, you guys are lying. That was a special ability to tell when someone's lying or telling the truth. Right? It wasn't just discernment in general. We all have discernment. If you have the Holy Spirit and you have the word of God, you can have discernment. But it was way beyond that. Right? So do I think that God could do anything still? Yeah, he could still do anything he wants. I'm not limiting him, but be very careful of if someone came up to me and said, Pastor, or, you know, brother, let me tell you, God just gave me this vision to tell you to do this. And I tell them in 2 Timothy 3:16, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. And it goes on in verse 17, that you may be mature and equipped to do all work. So it's saying the word of God is enough for me through the power of the Holy Spirit to become mature like Christ and do all the work that he has done. To me, someone coming to me, that's very subjective. I have no idea whether that's from God or not. Do you understand? But I'm not limiting the Holy Spirit to direct you by any means. And this is what Paul was saying here. He's saying these people are led by these spiritual experiences. I had people come to me and say, hey, there's this cloud that came over my head. And, you know, And I said to the person, I'm not going to deny that it didn't happen. You know, I was witness to a person at a bank one time, and this lady, and I was showing her the gospel. She grew up in Catholicism, so did I. But Catholicism doesn't preach the gospel. It preaches faith plus works. So I said to her the gospel. She goes, you know what happened to me? When I was in eighth grade, I went up to this ladder. It was a statue of Mary, and I saw the eyes of the statue of Mary move. And that made me say that what I'm believing is the truth. See, her spiritual experience was guiding her to saying, that's the truth. But it wasn't the truth. So he's saying, stick to the head. Okay? That's what Paul is saying. It's very important. All right? So as we stick to the head and get his signals, we'll become these strong soldiers for Jesus Christ. Why is the church so weak? Why are we so weak? Here's a great verse. Proverbs 35. Now I'm all over the place preaching this message, so I'm going to put up the verses real quick. Every word of God is pure. It's a shield unto them that put their trust in them. So you could trust the word of God. Another one, 2 Samuel 21:31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord has been tried. It's been tested. I know people who are divorced today because they said, the Bible doesn't work. The only time my husband does what I tell him to do is when I twist his arm and I threaten him. I said, that's not a signal coming from the head. That's not what God says. See, all the wisdom you think you have or somebody else gives you, unfortunately, I've had people come to me and some of the advice they got is the opposite of the Bible by some Christian. Make sure when you're telling anybody it comes from the Word of God, not your own thinking. It may seem really good, but in the end, it's going to be the wrong signal. And the body's going to end up doing something the opposite of what the head wants. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a great soldier of Jesus Christ. No man worth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. This verse right here is, listen, we have to live in this world. We have to work. We have to be around people. You know, we don't go to work and be Joe Righteous and, you know, say, we're a righteous Christian and everybody else is, they're wicked. But in the same token, we always have to be careful of getting so entangled with the world and the things of the world that we become so ineffective and we lose our joy as a Christian because we're so wrapped up in our little kingdom that we have built. Remember, this is not our home. Be careful. Listen, if you're a rich Christian, praise God. If you did it through the principles of Proverbs, you were diligent. But don't let that come before God. Don't let it become an idol. Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, if you have money, don't trust in it, right? Don't be high-minded. Be ready to distribute it. So I'm not against God prospering you. I'm against prosperity theology, but I'm also against poverty theology too. You know, I have nothing. Because maybe you're a bad steward of your money. I don't know. Be careful. So God wants us to be strong, right? And again, we have this free will. So the first thing is, you got to be connected to the head. So on Thursday, there was a bunch of us. Andrew was down there. All the people were down there. We're witnessing to these people. And Kathy, who's sick this morning, brought over this man in a walker. He walked all the way to, we were giving out coffee. So we gave him coffee, sat down. And he was sitting there. And then he said to me, hey, does anybody pray? You guys pray for people around here? I said, yeah. So I sat down on the bench. And I said, what do you want me to pray for, man? And he said, pray for my mother. She's really old. She's 87. She's in the hospital. She's dying. And, I want to make sure that she's going to heaven. So I said, hey, where are you going to go if you pass, And I went through this whole thing. He thought he was a good person. And that's why he was going to heaven. So I shared the whole gospel with him. He accepted Christ. And he's sitting here today. He's right there. His name is Lee. Yeah. So, Lee, listen, we're going to go see your mother. She's in the hospital soon this week. And we're going to try to lead her to Christ. He wants to make sure that she's saved as well. Okay, so you're connected to the head now. You're saved. I don't know when you got saved. But if you didn't get saved, you better get saved today because there's no promise of tomorrow. And listen, you're missing out. Don't think Christianity is, and I have to say that I have done this and other people have done this. We've shown Christianity, especially when I first got saved, I showed Christianity was what you don't do and what you do. Yeah, we don't go here, we don't do this, we don't do that. We show a negative. Like, this is what Christianity is. We don't do this, we don't do this, we don't do this. And that's what we show them. And people are saying, if that's Christianity, I don't want it. Because that's the only thing that makes me happy when I do those things. They have no idea of the power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace. That's what everybody's looking for. So when you get saved today, and what happens? All your sin goes on Jesus, and all his righteousness goes on you, and you're made holy. Omar sent me this video of M13, the gang members, and they're really bad, right? But in El Salvador, in this prison, a bunch of them got saved. And more of them, I think all of them, I don't know if this one prison, almost everyone is saved. And they praise God every day. They go, they're in there for life. They murdered people. Anybody could get saved. It's hard for the good people to get saved because they don't think they need Jesus. Oh, they believe about Jesus, but not trusting only on Jesus. So your guilt is gone. You go into God's family. You receive the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace that you're trying to find in a dollar bill, another person, a place, some career, something, but it leaves you empty. Because once you get $1 million, what do you want now? It never ends. The eyes of man are never satisfied, Proverbs 23:20. So come to Jesus today. All right, let's talk about the body now. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, there is 1 Corinthians there. The first person here has never been visited before. First Colossians, I'm not coming here anymore. He doesn't even know the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, so my next point now, so you're connected to the head. The next thing is that you got to be connected to the rest of the body. All right? Look at verse 12. Again, 12, 13, and 14 have to do with spiritual gifts. And I don't have time to go this. I've done this before. I just want to jump in and talk about this body life in this section here. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized. The Greek word there means to be placed in, to be immersed in, into this one body. He says, whether you be Jews or Gentiles, whether you be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. All right? So Christ is the head, and whoever accepts Christ goes into this body of Christ. It started at Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. It will end at the rapture. So those who are in Christ is the body of Christ. It's not the Old Testament saints. It's not the tribulation saints. The body is from Acts chapter 2 to the rapture of the church. So it doesn't matter who in this world, since Acts chapter 2, whether they're poor, they're rich, they're Jew, it doesn't matter where they live, if by faith, through grace, they accepted Jesus Christ, they're in the body of Christ. There are brothers and sisters in Christ. That's it. Man has created all the denominations and all this and all that. I've grown in 20 years. I wish I knew now as a pastor what I knew 20 years ago. Because sometimes we elevate doctrine over God, over people. Now, I'm not saying we get away from the Word of God. I love to study the Word of God. I love doctrine. But I think sometimes we put doctrine there and then we treat people not even Christ-like in the process of that. Now, I know the truth sets you free, and I'm not compromising that, but hey, let's speak the truth in love. Right? You know, we got the truth. God bless God. You know, we come across like, and then the other people say, well, we just learn to love everybody. It doesn't matter what you believe. Well, that's wrong too. It's the balance of love and truth. Right? Now, the head has given many instructions, right, through the Word of God. And how do people know that you're a Christian? Here's a couple of verses. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, because you know the book of Revelation. Now, if you have love one toward another. Another verse, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men. Oh, the light of Christ. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why the people who go off in some commune somewhere, a bunch of Christians, and go off and say, we're trying to protect the holiness of God, and forget about all you people. We're just going to... Where in the world does that teach isolation? Nowhere. You'd go against this verse. You've got to be in the world, loving people where they're at, being Christ-like to them, even though they don't believe what you believe. A friend of Paul's here today. She went to school with Paul down in Jacksonville. She actually lives in New York. She knows the Gibsons. She went to their church, All Nations. And a really close friend of Paul. And one of the things Paul was known for is loving people from the inside out. And this one person, and she was an atheist. She was an 18-year-old atheist. And she was a lesbian. And I'm against anybody. I do believe the Bible, that that's wrong. But we still have to love people where they're at, right? And I said to her, she got in the car a year later after Paul died, and she wanted to come and visit us. And she said, I want to give some money towards Haven of Hope. Paul was saving for that. I want to do this. This is the person who doesn't even believe in God. And she got in the car, and she started crying. And I said, well, what are you crying about? And she goes, well, you sound like Paul, she said. I want to say Paul sounds like me, but anyway. And so, this girl, I said, when's the first time you met Paul? She goes, we had a 6-hour debate on whether God existed or not. But one thing he did was, he loved me no matter, I didn't agree with him, but he still loved me like everybody else. And then she said, I was starting to like Paul, actually. But my point is, you have to love one another. And that means loving the lost. Right? How are you going to reach people if you don't love them? And you're like, I'm right. It's the way it's going to be. You'll never reach them. If you come across that you're so righteous, you're not going to reach people. You're going to push people away in your own home. You know, I learned some of this. I grew up in a very negative home. I didn't hear I love you very much. I grew up in, you know, just the way it is. It was all negative. When they sat around, they talked about other people. And only through Jesus, he's changed me to see it's positive. Not negative. The gospel is a good news. It's not bad news. Everybody needs it. If they reject it, they will go to hell, yes. But let's present Christ all together, right? It's very important. All right, now, in the Bible, there's a bunch of one another's. I could preach a whole message on this. I'm just going to list them really quick for you. All right, so here's the head saying, this is what I want you to do. How are you going to have this great body life? In your home, in the church, how's that going to happen? Here's how it's going to happen. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And by the way, I always teach this when I get to this verse. Don't be a victim. You say, I've never been loved the way I was supposed to be loved. My dad abused me. Listen to Omar's testimony, right? When you come to Jesus, you're set free because he says, love as I have loved you. He didn't say love as you have been loved. Right? You're no longer a victim. Understand how much God loves you, and then you'll start pouring out. That's why you can love your enemies. You can't do it in the flesh. Here's another one. I quoted it before. Be kind one to another. a tender heart, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Hey, is there any bitterness you have towards anybody right now? Maybe they're sitting right next to you. Maybe they're across the room. Maybe they're dead 20 years ago. But it'll destroy your life. Hebrews 12:15 says, the root of bitterness will trouble you and defile many. So you got to forgive. But you can't forgive. I always say this, you can't give $100 unless you have $100. So first understand how much God has forgiven you. And then you could pour that out. All right, everybody, I said this before, everybody has their own color right now. And your color is going to show up on the shirt of a person that you're bitter against in this room right now. Or in your life, or when you go to work, or the rest of your family. Every time you see that person, there's your color on the shirt. Could you imagine? That's what that Greek word means, stained, in Hebrews 12:15. Bitterness will stain other people. See, how in the world can we have this body life right now if Joe over here is bitter at Bill? Or Susie's gossiping about, how in the world can that happen? In your home, at the workplace, just think of all these one another's. I'm going to go through them. Hey, nursery people, just hold on. I'm going to go a little bit longer. I want to finish this. How in the world is this going to happen? How are we going to have this body life if we don't do this? This is Christ. This is information coming from the head. Yeah, we could reject it. We could become spiritually paraplegic, quadriplegic. We can spiritually do that, right? By rejecting the signals that are coming. Because it's not the head's fault. The head's perfect. That's Jesus. Right? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When's the last time you comforted another Christian? Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So admonishing does mean to warn. It's okay to warn somebody. But what are you doing? When you come to somebody, it's just like, hey, Omar, you should do this. I can't believe you're doing this. No. You come with love. I'm looking to restore him. I'm coming humbly. Only by the grace of God, I'm not doing the same thing. See, there's a lot of attitudes that come before you admonish someone. You're not just trying to put them in their place. God doesn't do that with you. He's always trying to restore, right? Another one. Speak not evil one of another. Okay, I'm going to gather all your words and my words this week. I'm going to put them all together, and I'm going to put them up on the screen right now. Let me see. Did you speak evil of someone? If I use Omar, because Omar could take everything. So, second, honey, do you believe how Omar was dressed and what he said? Do you believe that he did this? I can't believe that. Do you believe he's in this sin? Hey, the Bible says, go to your brother and tell him yourself in love. Don't go tell somebody else. That's why the body is so sick. Because these signals are coming, and we're ignoring the signals, and we're doing what we want to do, maybe to make us feel better. I can't believe they would even do something like that. That's pride. There's no superstar Christians. We're all bruised. We're all broken. We put scars on ourselves. Other people put scars on us. That's why we all need Jesus continually. We need to be humble servants. Exhort one another daily while it is today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. I always say, we get the men together. We've been having revival in this little men's thing now in the last couple weeks. I'm so excited because everyone's taking. Women tend to just say everything that's on their heart. They don't care. But guys, we're like protected. No way, I'm proud. I ain't saying I'm struggling with this. They're going to think I'm weak. Now, you are struggling. Right? Men struggle with pride and lust, main two things. People who struggle with pornography, guys, Get an accountability partner. Because that will ruin your life. Amen. Confess your faults one to another. Pray with one another that you may be healed. The effectual prayer of righteous men availeth much. See that vulnerability. Omar, I'm struggling with this, man. Can we pray? Can you help me with this? It's the only way we're going to have the body life. There's no other way. These are the signals coming. We can ignore them. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. How do you do that? Verse 25. But not forsakenly assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Your presence here today, as you walked in already, I just saw Omar said, man, Omar said, this is awesome. You don't even realize it. But let Omar not come for 2 weeks. He's like, where's Omar? And then he comes with his spiritual gifts and his talents, and he sees I'm down, and he comes and gives me mercy. Right? Other people have the gift of teaching. So we use our gifts, and everything is happening here. So when you're not here, it's not happening. The body life's going away. I'm just giving the verses. If you come to church every single Sunday, you say, I haven't missed Pastor in a year, and you're proud of that, don't be proud of that. You see? Because you're looking at your actions. I'm saying, come here to worship God. I always tell people, come on Sunday is like dessert, man. You're feeding on God every day. You're just so excited. I want to come here. I want to worship God. I want to just pour my life into my brothers and sisters. That's what you should be coming. If you're coming, I got to come. Something's wrong. You're not getting the nutrition from the head. Your own body is not healthy. Now, I get people are broken. I'm talking to Christians now. I get people are broken with things going on. They're coming in here. Man, this should be a Holy Ghost hospital. This is not a country club. You know, feel comfortable. Let's all just come here and have our little club. Let's be real. Your pride may be stopping you from sharing, and you're hurting. And I want to connect everybody. I'm running out of a lot of time here. I got to move quick. All right, let's go on. So you got to be connected to the head. Connection to the rest of the body. So let's look at really quick, two more quick things. What does it take practically to have a healthy, functioning local body and thing? Real quick, I want to show you this right in the text here. Several must be involved. Look at verse 13. You see the word all. See, all have to take part. Not just a few body parts. We all have to come together. So all of us have to forgive. All of us have to, you know, use our spiritual gifts, our talents. See, what happens in the body of Christ, you know, this is a phrase that you've heard, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. That shouldn't be. Right? It's like this. I was a physical therapist, and I taught people. People have surgery on their knee. They do this. And I got to teach them how to use crutches. Until they don't use crutches, they can't go home. These big guys, everything, you know, and they had surgery the day before, and they'd sit them up, and they'd be woozy. They'd get down to PT. And some of them couldn't use crutches. So I had to teach them that, or they can't go home, or someone's got to be with them. So if a person is unstable in their gait, and they can't be down by themselves, they need a person to watch them. That's a policy. I did it 20 years ago. That was the policy. Now, if I broke my leg, my femur, I'm non-weight-bearing for 6 weeks. Let me tell you something. My triceps are going to have to do a lot more work. So when you are part of the body, some of you are sitting here today, you have talents and abilities and spiritual gifts, and you haven't been using them. Now, I don't know why you haven't been using them. Maybe it's you don't feel like you have anything to bring. Then you're slapping God in the face. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, verse 18, and verse 28, says God gave the spiritual gifts. God gave you the natural talent. So for you to say, I don't have much, you're slapping God in the face. You have a lot to offer. I don't care who you are. I told Pastor Paul, I want every kid in that place going in this year doing something for God. I don't care if it's filling the track rack. I told him, I want some of the older ones greeting people, put their names on there. Hey, we're so glad you're here. I want to change the whole environment of this place to everybody to connect. When you walk in this place, don't sit in the same chair every time. Go sit somewhere else and say, hey, my name is Joe. We're so glad you're here. Amen. It's not about comfort. You want to be like Jesus? You want to reach out? The Pharisee says, I can't believe who Jesus is we eating with. I hope that's not said of you and me. Let's get out of our comfort zones. Let's be like Jesus. Too busy with your life, you can't serve. Maybe, you know, I don't think I can make a difference. I tried in the past, you know, I failed, or someone else said, oh, you're not good enough. Listen, remember, Jesus said some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So when God has gifted you, maybe it's not as great as maybe somebody else from the external standpoint. But when you stand before God, it's not going to be how many people. It's going to be, were you faithful what he gave you to do? And you could get greater awards than the Billy Grahams of all of the preaching. Because one day you're going to stand before God. You're going to have to show everything that he gave you. And he's going to say, were you a good steward of that? And let me tell you, it starts in your home. You can't be a servant at home and be Christ-like at home. That's like me yelling at Linda, I can't believe you. And I come to church, hi, Omar, how are you doing today? That's hypocritical. That's not Christ-like. I'm being real. Get right. I'm not saying you know people don't have struggles, but let's be Christ-like. I told the men yesterday, D.L. Moody, one of the questions they asked his kids, what do you remember most about D.L. Moody, about your dad? He said he was quick to ask for forgiveness. That's what they remembered. They don't remember this guy who went to Chicago and had won all these souls. They remember my dad who was quick to say, will you forgive me? They tell of a story how they lost all these horses and he was so mad. He had to get all these horses back to the stable. And he was so mad. And he let the kids have it. Then that night he went up those stairs and said, will you forgive me for getting so upset? See, we think, oh, they deserve that. They're wrong. See, we're not being Christ-like in what we do. You can admonish somebody, but go again in love, looking to restore. We got to change. We're going to push people aside. We're not going to be used to the greatest capacity that God wants us to use us. So, listen, several must be involved. Quick, all have their special part of importance. Look, we got to read quick now. Quick, go to verse 14. Let's go to 14. It says, for the body is not one member, but many, right? Many parts. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, smelling? Here it is, verse 18. But now hath God set the members of one and them in the body as it pleased him. Hey, and by the way, you should not seek after some spiritual gift. God gives them out. You don't speak out. You know, the evidence of receiving the Spirit in verse 13 is not speaking in tongues. Okay? That's a whole nother subject. I don't have time for it. But verse 29 says, look what it says. Are all apostles? What's the answer? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. It's no, 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 no. That's the answer to all of them. So we're in the first century right now. We're in Corinth. So the evidence of receiving the Spirit, everyone receives the Spirit, but not everyone spoke in tongues. So this idea that the evidence of receiving the Spirit is speaking in tongues is not true. Don't let anybody snowball you with that. The second blessing of the Spirit comes after you speak. There's no such thing, right? God gives them out. Verse 19, if there were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members yet but one body, right? So there's differences in with the body. Think about it, if everybody was, you know, a leg, you wouldn't have no arms, right? It doesn't make sense, right? Even in a natural sense. I ask people, what's the most important part? Some of you are mechanics here. What's the most important part of a brake system? Is it the pedal? Is it the master cylinder? Is it the brakes? Is it the fluid? They're all, if you don't have them, the car's not stopping. Right? One's not more important than the other. Maybe some of the mechanics could say this is more important. But in general, you know what I'm saying, right? If you don't have a pedal to step on, I don't care if you have a master cylinder. It's the same thing with the body. So don't think you're better than someone else or someone doesn't have something or you don't feel like you have something to bring. It's not true. It's not true. Don't believe it. The third thing is all must serve together. Look at 21 through 24. We're going to 26 and we're going to end, okay? Stay with me. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Try to hit a baseball with no hands or with no eyes. You're not going to do it. Nay, much more are those members of the body which seem, not are, to be more feeble or weak are necessary. He says, those members of the body which think to be less honorable or not attractive, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts are not seen, have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts, I know this is a little wordy here, it means seen parts, have no need of further honor. That's the idea. So it's like this. If you have big biceps and you go like this, everyone can see your biceps. But let me ask you a question. Can you see your heart? Well, heart's important, right? Can you see your kidneys? No, you can't see your kidneys, but they're important, right? That's what he's saying. All the parts are important, even though you can't see them. See, in a church, sometimes there's people up front and say, oh, this person is really, really important because look what they're doing. No, you're just as important. If you clean the church, you preach the word of God, whatever gift and talent you do, they're all valuable and they're all important. So don't be prideful and think you're something or think you're nothing because you have nothing to bring. All right, let me quickly talk about, I'm just going to skip really quick here, to the results of a local body working together. Two things. One, there's going to be a connection. Look at verse 25. It says, there should be no schism in the body or division to take place. So we're involved in connecting all our spiritual gifts and our talents. We're loving one another, forgiving one another. We're doing all this. There's going to be no cliques. There's going to be unity. So if you're in this little group, just you and these people, we want just a little group, but we just like this, it's not correct. Now, you could feel close to somebody and pray with them. I get that. I'm not saying that. But we should be reaching out, and everybody should be working together. Do you know Jonathan was 50 years old, and David was a teenager, and they were best of friends? Saul was 70. Jonathan was like 50. David was like 20. People don't know that. So we got to work together. No divisions. We got to all work together. If you want to have a great company, you got to work together. If you want to have a church and be powerful to reach the lost, to minister to the needs of the people, then we got to work together. Now, I don't care what happened in the past. I'm starting a new year going for it. You're either going to go with me. I don't care. I'm going. It's up to you. Don't sit there and say, well, no one connect, you know, no one visited me, no one did this, no one did that. Listen, be the one. And if we start doing this, that will happen. I'm sorry, in the nursery, just hang on another 5 minutes. Normally I'll do this, but I want to make this all one message. The second thing is going to happen, I just mentioned it, is there's going to be care one for another. Look at the end of verse 25 and 26. It says, but the same member should have the same care one for another. Watch this now. Verse 26. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. See, when you're connected, and I saw somebody today, somebody walked in and their face was down, and somebody said, "Hey man, you don't look good." Right? See, they sensed that right away. Something's wrong. See, when you start caring for another, I know my wife, I know her faces. I know when I say something, number one language is encouraging words. So when I say discouraging words, man, we're driving the car, she looks out the window, I am in trouble. Like I could see right in her face just go from most communication is body language and tone. It's not the words. Words are important, but it's not. Right? I use the illustration all the time. You guys know what's gonna be. Watch. What versus what? I said the same word. My body language said a whole different thing, and the tone said a whole different thing. So you may be saying, I'm saying the right thing. Hey, Omar, you should. Oh, see, why don't you backtrack? Because right away we're showing that you're wrong, I'm right. We got to change all that. So you're going to dress somebody, dress it with love. Whether it's in your home, I'm trying to help couples with this. Well, I'm right. And see, this is always, I'm right, you're wrong. It's not about that. Sometimes it's perception. Please, let's do this. So here's some connecting opportunities, and I'm going to end with this and one more thing, and we're done. There's men's and ladies' breakfasts, right? So what we started was this. Every man in this room, we started this 2 months ago. Every man's going to have a man for 6 months, and you're going to pray with that person once a week, talk with them, once a month, get together. All right? I have Al right here, right? So Al, me and Al have been praying together, right? So Al, I started calling Al. Al's calling me. I went and played pool with him one time, right? And I don't mind. I'm sure you won't mind me saying this. Yeah, I'm going over. Al said to Al, I was sick. He called me. I said, Pastor, how are you doing? He goes, Pastor, I love you. I'm being honest. I don't know if that would have happened if we didn't get together. So I want every man to be with another man and be open and honest. I'm struggling with this. You pray for me. I'll pray for you. And keep your mouth shut, by the way. If somebody shares something with you that you're struggling with, don't go tell other people. That's speaking evil of one for another. I'm telling you, Jesus wants his body. We can have so much, I'll even say it, fun. You can have so much joy and excitement in your home. You can have I'm going through this marriage. I can't wait to get to heaven. Like, what? I mean, that's just crazy, right? If you're in this body, I got to go to church. It shouldn't be that way. If we're doing this body life stuff right from the head, it should be dynamic. I'm not saying there's not going to be struggles. I'm not saying there's not going to be suffering. But then we'll care for one another. And then we'll rejoice another person. You know what? If you're in this room and somebody's singing and they're better than you, or they play an instrument better than you, and you're like, I can't believe it. They're taking my job. Don't you dare think that. I'm mixing. You see what's happening? I'm mixing everybody. Everybody with talents. I don't care. There's no superstars here. We work one with another. I let people preach and teach and do all those things. I drop dead tomorrow. This church is going to go on. I never do this, go over fellowship times. We're changing the whole Tuesdays things. Going back to Old Crew, there's going to be 5-6 locations that you could go to, one in the Valley, one in Meriden, one here, once a month, get together as families, pray together. We're changing all this. I'll let you know all these things coming up. So in conclusion, there it is. It's this simple. Conclusion is this. One, be saved today by getting connected to the body if you're not. Two, be sustained by the head first by abiding in Christ, and then serve using all the abilities and talents God has given you. Father, just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you.